All right, folks, welcome to Lecture 19 in our History of Europe. Pardon me. It is kind of right now still History of Europe, but it is American history for the elementary class of history at our house. And we are still working on the European world of Christopher Columbus. Today, as per our schedule of work, we are going to be talking about the last bit of new material that you have to be kind of responsible for the upcoming test. So we'll talk about that today, and then we will, anyway, first of all, what we're going to do, here's kind of the order of things we're going to do. We're going to cover the last anchor facts that we haven't discussed much in class. You have a timeline, you have a bunch of information about it, but I realize that we haven't been able to get through to all of them in class, so we're going to focus on that first. Then the second thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about this new content for today. And then I also want to spend a little bit of time talking about maybe how to think about test prep, just a little bit more, because I have some more advice about that. And in particular, I think I have advice for people in the lower elementary class, because Patrick here in our house is in the lower elementary class and taking a test for the first time. So we're thinking about that in our house, and I have advice on how to approach that as well. Okay, so we might leave that to the end. It's really mostly for lower elementary students, but even maybe some parents of upper elementary will appreciate hearing about it and thinking about these ideas when it comes to taking tests. All right, so task number one is to fill in the gaps in our live treatment of the anchor facts. So we're going to work on number two here of the anchor facts, because we know based on anchor fact number one that what was normal and what has been normal for human beings to accept without knowing any better for pretty much all of history. Very sad. Abby?
Monarchy.
The rule of one. That's what monarchy means. One guy that can bash everybody else's heads in, just like on this tablet, which is really sad. Human beings have to learn how to get the right answer. They don't just know it, like snap your fingers and it's magic and you know the answer. You have to think clearly about how to solve difficult problems. And one of the most difficult problems is, how do you organize society in a way so that people can pursue their happiness? People can be free and live the best way that they possibly can. When the Founding Fathers created America in 1776, we know to some degree already what they said. What we're gonna see more of this year is that they were relying on the people from here as an important example. They were looking at them and saying, we can learn from these people. These people knew better. They had done the thinking. They were the first ever to do it. They came up with great ideas. We can learn from them. They might not have been perfect, and hasn't been a country in history yet that's perfect, but they sure did some good things. So that's what the Founding Fathers said. We can learn from them. So let's go ahead. And I'm just going to give these answers here because we have a little bit of a tight schedule. So for this one, I'm going to give the answers. And then maybe for the next ones, I'll ask a little bit more. So on this one, what we're going to need is who? The Athenians and the Romans. Okay, this one is a tricky anchor because it has two parts. Okay? But as you'll see, there's a reason why we can do two, because they're really, really close to each other. And the Athenians were the first to invent democracy, and the Romans were the first to invent republic. So what we could put perhaps over here is go invented, right? One of them is democracy, one of them is republic. So over here we have the Athenians, we can kind of keep them lined up like that. One of them is inventing democracy, one of them is inventing republic as people. And then the neat thing is, the reason why we can do these side by side is the Athenians were the first to think up of how to have a democracy right around this time. And then, as it turns out, the Romans were doing their own thinking over on this side pretty much at the same time. Awesome. So, five. Now, one question that you might have is, what is a democracy and what is a republic? We don't have time to get into that. So you have heard these words, and for now what they're going to be is a little bit of a puzzle. You kind of probably know that democracy involves voting. You might know some things about a republic, depending on what you've studied. But really, that's going to be our main job this year, is to understand these words. So right now, I'm kind of planting a seed here. I want you to see these words. I want you to know maybe whether or not you know them well or not, and that we're going to be learning more about them. Okay? And then the so what is, these are the first examples of better government / freedom in history. Oh, the where. All right. Well, it's always, the where is almost an extra question. I'm thinking of getting rid of it because it's always just, it's always already somewhere in our set of answers. And when I say Athenians, they're from Athens and Romans are from Rome. But all right. So I kind of got caught up in having a where question there. All right. But there we go. There is the complete set of answers for this one. Okay. So that is anchor fact number two. All right. And actually, I'm not going to do more of them today because we have limited amount of time. So yes, I realize that number seven especially might need a little bit more. It's in your class notes, so you should be able to get at least who, what, where, when. And also number four might need a little bit of help. So, but for now, this is today's update. So if you haven't had a chance to take it down yet, don't panic. You can go back and play this recording on YouTube later today and get it if you absolutely need it. But I don't think there's anything here that you don't already have on the timeline almost, except for maybe the so what. Okay, so that's it. Final thoughts, questions, comments about this particular anchor. Anybody? All right. Good. Well, then, oh, there might be one. Wyatt Henry, go ahead.
I would like to say my answer about this.
Okay, if there's one part
the
that you need to...
The Republic
yes.
is based on the first exceptions to monarchy. No, I just put it. The American Republic is based on the first exceptions to monarchy.
Okay, that's good too. That's good. Right. So these are the first examples of freedom. So another way of putting that is these are the first, what was the word you used? Exceptions to monarchy. That's good. That's good. It's a little bit not quite true, Wyatt, because I'll give you an example of why there was other exceptions to monarchy. Sometimes people would rebel against their monarchs, and then there would be a big mess, and that's called anarchy. And so that's not freedom either. And so, yes, there were other times when people didn't have monarchs, so that's kind of an exception, but it's still not good. It's still not freedom. So in a way, I think it's better, Wyatt, to say the positive statement. The first examples of freedom. Okay, so that would be, I think, if you wanted, that's my full answer to that one. Okay, we have got to move on. So let's put this down here. And today we're going to be talking about, again, the world of Christopher Columbus in 1492. And we already know four things, basically. Here's a summary of the things we have talked about so far. And we're going to talk about the fifth one today. So what's the summary? So the first part of it is that the people of Europe were organized in 1492. We can look at a map of that, right? Good old 1492. There they are. They're organized in separate countries. So there's not one thing called Europe. There's really France, there's England, there's Spain, there's Portugal. So they're organized in separate countries. And the reason for that is that different tribes conquered different tribes, and they couldn't get along with each other. Okay, those countries, number two, they were organized with kings as their rulers. Okay, and for the Upper L students as well, you know, kind of the name of that, some of you will remember from European history, was called feudalism. But that's just having kings as rulers is the most important part that you need to remember. Okay, number three, France and England. Worst enemies forever. All right, we saw that story as well. And then Spain and Portugal, two countries that were created and that the life of the people was all about one thing. It really was. Those people had a center in their life, and the center of their life was the Reconquista. The great struggle to take back their land from the Muslims who had invaded. Okay, so now we're moving on to the fifth feature. And the fifth feature of the European story has to do with, well, whether or not there was a center in the European world. Right? Today, what's that word for explaining that America is the most important country in the world by far? What's the expression for that? Caleb?
America-centric.
The world is America-centric today. Okay, right. So, what about Europe in 1492? Was it France-centric? Was it England-centric? Was there a country that was more important than anybody else? I'm not really asking for an answer there. That's a rhetorical question. In other words, I'm going to give you the answer. Now, there wasn't really a center, as we are going to see, because there was an attempt to make a center, and it didn't work. Okay? So, there was an attempt to make a center, and it didn't work. So, who had tried to make a center? Who could possibly make a center? Now, remember that we're not talking about geography, but nonetheless, you can kind of guess. We've already talked about England. We've already talked about France. We've already talked about Spain and Portugal. And I told you that I would only put countries on the map that in colors that are important, so there's not many left, right? And so in the center of our map, we're kind of sensing there's something big and yellow and lemon-limey over here in the middle, right? So what's that about? What is that? And some of you have noticed that we have a label on the map that's called the Holy Roman Empire. Okay, so we're going to talk about that today. The idea that there was a country, a kind of a country, where people wanted that to be the center. And they even gave it a name that was so special, right? This three-part name that we're going to talk about. Holy Roman Empire. That reminds us of certain things, but it's also got other ideas inside of it. So, what was this place? Well, some of you are already trying to kind of jump ahead or say certain things about what was going on here. So, I'm going to take you over to a map of the Holy Roman Empire compared to the countries that we normally think of being in Europe. So for people who know European geography, the purple area here was about the size of the Holy Roman Empire. And what do you notice is inside of it? How many European countries can you notice are pretty much entirely inside of it? Who knows their European geography? What's this big one here in the center of Europe? What's this little tiny one here? What's this skinny one that's not all the way inside? Which ones are inside, Sigourney? Tell me some of them.
I wanted to tell you that big one is Germany.
Germany, thank you. That's the main one. So sometimes Germany and Holy Roman Empire, it's almost the same thing, except not quite. What are these countries here? These two medium size for Europe, but really small compared, you know, kind of the size of New Jersey. How big are, what are those countries there, Rosetta?
I think I know one, Belgium.
Belgium down here, and this one? The neighbor of Belgium, Nemo?
Netherlands.
Netherlands, good. This one over here is called the Czech Republic today. This one's called Austria. This one's called Switzerland. And the top of this country, which everybody's got to recognize, the classic boot shape, Abby?
Italy.
Okay, so the Holy Roman Empire, we go back to Mr. Powell's map here for a second. Look at all the countries that were inside of it. The countries that we think of today were inside of it. That kind of helps us to understand why it was called an empire, right? What's an empire? We kind of it's a good idea to remind ourselves of that word, Abby. What's an empire?
An empire is a set of areas or countries ruled by one king or emperor.
Yes, okay, so it's a large territory of different peoples who used to be independent, but now they're ruled by one emperor, one ruler, because they were conquered. Okay? So it's a country that was created by conquest, where people used to be independent of each other, but now they're all ruled by one ruler. So that was the idea here, was that the German kings, as it turns out, wanted to become the most powerful in Europe. And so we know that Germany's inside the Roman Empire. Just wait for that one, Caleb. We know that Germany's inside the Roman Empire. So they wanted to be the most powerful. And so they asked themselves, how do we become the most powerful kings in Europe? And the answer they came up with was, well, there's somebody who can tell everybody else in Europe what to do. And it's not a king. There is? What? There's somebody else? Wait a minute, isn't he going to be the center then? If the people of France accept the authority of this person, the people of England accept him as the boss, and the people of Spain and Portugal too, everybody says, oh yeah, we're going to follow what this guy says. Who was it? Nemo?
The Pope.
The Pope, right? The Papa of Christianity. Whoop, I want to go back. I got to change my window, right? Remember our Pope with the hat that's even bigger than the king's hats? It's almost like, I got your crown, I got your crown, I got your crown. Okay. I'm the big leader. So, all right. So, the Pope was the leader of Christianity. Now, that's not the same thing as being a king. Very, very different. I mean, we've seen that the Pope wears really nice robes. He has a throne. He has a crown. So he behaves like a king in a lot of different ways. But he wasn't really a king. He was the person who was in charge of saying what the meaning of Christianity is. What is it to be a Christian? If you really want to say you're a Christian, then you have to follow the rules that this person says. And people in Portugal and Spain and France and England and throughout Germany and Italy, all of them accepted that. Wow, so that's pretty powerful. They had separate countries, but they accepted in some way, in some part of life, that you had to follow what the Pope said. So the German king said to himself, well, hey, if I can make the Pope work for me, then what's he going to say? If I can get the Pope to work for me, the German king, then which one of the kings of Europe is going to be the most important? The ones that don't have the Pope as their special friend? Or me, the one who's going to have the Pope as his ally? So the German king said, all right, in these dark ages where tribes have conquered tribes and there's lots of troubles and the Pope needs a friend, I'm going to go down there and clean up this mess that was Italy, because Italy, after the Roman Empire, was a big mess, and I'm going to help the Pope. And in exchange, the Pope is going to have to be my ally. And so the Pope, he did save the Pope. The King of Germany went down to Italy and he helped the Pope. And then the Pope, in exchange, gave him a new title, a bigger sounding title, much more impressive than just King of Germany. The title was Holy Roman Emperor! Oh my gosh. Now, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Right before the German kings and the popes became buddy-buddy, we just had Roman emperors. All right, so now the Pope down in Rome is making the German king the Holy Roman Emperor. What's the difference? What does that word, holy, mean? That's a kind of a tricky vocabulary word. How would you explain the word holy in Holy Roman Emperor? Roman Emperor, that's easy. An empire is a territory that was conquered and ruled by somebody in Rome. Okay, or having to do with Rome. All right, that part's not too complicated. But what about the holy part? Jeremy, what would that word mean?
Holy would probably mean Christian something.
Yeah, that's a pretty good answer. He is Christian. He has some kind of special role in Christianity. He has a special status that's better than just normal people. He's holy. He is a special religious person, not a normal person. Oh, so he's an emperor, but also he's a special leader of the religion. Okay. Well, this was an interesting idea. Not the first time in history that kings and religious leaders have tried to make an arrangement where they say we're going to help each other. But if we go back to our diagram for a second of the way that the world was organized in Europe, right? The diagram of the kings and emperors over here, the German king slash emperor, and the Pope over on this side. There was a problem with this relationship. And the problem was the emperor wanted to be the leader. He wanted to be more than just a king. He wanted to be more than all the other kings. He wanted to be the number one leader. He wanted to be the center. But so did the Pope. So did the Papa. Okay, so the Pope wanted to be in the center. The Emperor wanted to be in the center. There was a big argument. Once again, European history is just one big argument after another over who's going to be in charge. Why does somebody have to be in charge? That's an interesting. In what sense, right? That's a tricky question. That's all about how do we live our lives organized as human beings. Right? We know from the anchor facts that from the beginning of history, somebody is ruling somebody else. That's pretty sad. How do we be free? How do we not have this problem? There's got to be a different way of organizing society. But right here in European society, there's a big argument between the popes and the emperors over who's really in charge. And that argument was never settled. Literally, it was never settled. They made lots of bargains, they made lots of deals, but never once was it finally settled. Until basically the whole way of life of feudalism was gone. So it just disappeared. But the answer is that the emperor wanted to be in charge, but the Pope didn't want to help him. The Pope wanted to be in charge himself. So this is what Germany ended up looking like. Ooh, are you ready for this one? Where is it? Oh, wait. I know where it is. This is what Germany ended up looking like. The Holy Roman Empire. When we make it all look like it's one color, it's kind of an illusion. Really, what it was a mess. with small rulers in all kinds of little places. And certain guys being in saying, I'm going to follow the Pope. This guy over here says, I'm going to follow the Emperor. I'm going to follow the Pope. I'm going to follow the Emperor. Everybody in every different spot had a different answer to the argument between the Pope and the Emperor over who is supposed to be in charge of everything. And so it turned into a mess. It turned into a mess. This is what it really looked like. Mr. Powell's map is a little bit of an illusion, right? If I put this map up here and you see yellow and green and you're wondering what that's about, I mean, I could have put it all in yellow, but there's a reason why I added the green. So hold on that, okay? But it looks like it's all one thing, right? But I couldn't exactly put this, could I, on my map of Europe. Then I can't even fit all the separate pieces. There's so many of them. Okay? So I decided not to. I decided to put the big chunk of it. And there's a reason why. Because by 1492, the argument was going in a kind of interesting way. And we're going to have to learn about this in American history. By 1492, inside of the Holy Roman Empire, there was one family that was becoming more important than any other. And that family had all of this green stuff inside the empire. So it was only one family that was in charge of all of that. And Nemo knows which one.
Habsburg.
The Habsburgs. So we're going to talk about them when we come back in the European world of Columbus and who is sending Columbus and who's in charge of this Holy Roman Empire. There's this powerful family in Europe that wanted to become the center and almost did. Almost did. Because, I'll give you a little bit of a preview, what happened was all of the green stuff and all of the orange stuff was united. The Habsburgs came to control part of the empire and part of and all of the Spanish world as well. So they became especially powerful and they almost took over everything. But as we're going to see, they didn't. It didn't work out. And pretty soon, Europe was working on other things. We're going to see that. There's too many details to give you too much of a preview. But basically, we were going to get the European world of 1492 was the argument between popes and emperors seemed to be going in a new direction with this family called the Habsburgs. Were they going to take over? And we'll just leave that with a question mark on it. Okay, that's where I'm going to stop today's lecture. So what I want to do now is, I want to do two different things. I noticed there's some set of questions floating around, but chatting is never a very easy way to get my attention. I never can read the chats quickly enough. So I sense there are some questions to address. And also there's the issue of Mr. Powell's personal guidance on test preparation, which I wanted to offer up. So let's go ahead and do that now. The official lecture is over. For the rest of today's class, it's going to be kind of an informal Q&A, so it's up to you whether you want to stay, whether you want to hear it, and all that kind of stuff. So anybody who has questions or comments or whatever, let's hear them now. Let's talk about these things. So Abby, go ahead.
My question was, the last question on the test preparation sheet, are we going to cover that today?
We just did. So you should be able to think about what we talked about today, and you should be able to read the class notes to find the answer.
Okay. I had a bit of a technical problem.
What do you mean by that?
I might have missed it.
You
lost the screen for a little while.
Okay. All right. So you might have to hear the lecture again. Okay. Caleb, please.
My brother has a problem with his account.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Apparently, I don't know how, but, like, if from what I get, he, like, can't find his password, and he's locked out of his account. I typed it in chat, so he can't do any live classes.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what's up there.
Yeah, so that means that either somebody hacked his account, or he typed in his username and password multiple times incorrectly, and therefore the security feature has locked him out. So you need to email me about that, and I will. I'll try to get it fixed for you as quickly as possible.
All right.
But yeah, we're trying to implement some security for users because we don't want anybody cheating or breaking into our website. Okay, so from now on, tell him he's got to be more careful about entering the username and password. Maybe he needs a simpler password or, I don't know, you know, something, a program to remember the password. All right, so let me now briefly talk about test preparation. And in a way, I guess we could just talk about what's history looking like in our house. In other words, Mr. Powell's house, because we Patrick Henry here is a first-time student of history at our house, and so he is going to be taking his first test as well. And what I want to say about that is that as the teacher of the class, I, of course, am paying attention to how everybody is doing, and I am trying to present the material for the class. This is not a tutoring session where I am talking to one person, and only whatever it is that you're thinking or wondering or whatever challenges you personally are facing, that's the only thing I'm worried about. Now, as a teacher, I have to worry about a group of students, right? So it's not always going to be the case that you're going to understand everything that I have to say, or that you will know as much as the other students. Everybody's going to be in kind of their own personal situation. So one of the things that's pretty amazing about homeschooling is that your parents, or if they hire a tutor or somebody in the house to take care of it, right, get to pay attention to you individually and help you individually. I happen to be the teacher of the class and my son's individual helper, right? So I'm seeing what he knows and what he doesn't know, what he's struggling with and what he's struggling and what he's not. And so I'm helping him individually to do that. And it's very important that you, as the kids, as the students, get your mom and dad to help you in that way. And it's very important for mom and dad to think about that for individual students, how they are handling the material. And this comes, when it comes to the test, one of the things that you may find is, as being the individual helper of your student, that maybe you won't get the student to do the full test. Or maybe you will not do one of the questions. Or maybe you'll say, okay, my student is ready to do 5 anchor facts on the test, but not 7. And that's fine if this is the first time you ever took the class and you are, you know, you're still struggling to get caught up or learn some new things. Maybe you don't need to do all of it. So that's part of kind of homeschooling here, is that Mr. Powell says, all right, here's the bar. See if you can jump up to that. I have to put the bar high, right? If I put it too low, you guys get the metaphor, right? The bar. If I just say, oh, here's a really easy question. How do you spell Athens? And Christopher Columbus discovered America in what year? And I give you multiple choice and it's really silly and you don't have to think. Then, all right, then it's not proper learning. So I have to give you kind of a challenge with the tests. I want it to be difficult, and remember Wyatt was saying, struggling is good. Struggling means you grow and you learn and you get to know things you didn't know before. So I need to make something that's a little bit difficult for you guys. But at the same time, you need to also kind of, your mom and dad should help you to figure out, maybe this is still a little too hard. This is still test number one. If I'm a lower elementary student, maybe what I should be doing is half the test. Or maybe I'll do it as a homework exercise with my parents instead of a test. There's a lot of ways to do it. So I want everybody to be clear that it's okay to do it in different ways depending on how well things are going for you. And then you can let me know how they're going, and maybe I can even give you some advice on how to change things up. Because this is kind of the way that I advise people generally. What I say is, if you want to go from lower elementary to upper elementary, then you should be able to do the tests. If you want to go from upper elementary to junior high, then you should be able to do the upper elementary tests. That's the tests give you a sense of, do you know enough, and are you ready to go to the next level? If you can't quite do them yet, then the answer is no, you just have more learning to do, and that's fine. Okay, so that's kind of my advice for how to think about the tests. All right, I see another question has come up. Caleb, go ahead.
What is that country that isn't white but is sort of tannish color?
That's for later. Don't be distracted by that. All right, so stick with the ones over here. I know they're there and you're wondering. These two countries are going to be important later, so we're not going to talk about them now. If you know, you know. If you don't, that's okay. All right, we definitely are over time. So keep on studying, keep on working. You've got 2 more days of extra work. Task preparation with a test coming up. Do what you can, and don't worry about whether or not you get a certain grade on a test or whatever. Worry about how hard you're working and how much you're learning. That's what matters. Okay? Good luck, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
Bye, Mr.
Bye.
Bye, Mr. Powell.
Bye.